You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. This is the station, and the program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, whom I am. This show is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops and computers, and search WWGH. That way you can take advantage of all the other programs that we have to offer you. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments during this segment of my show, please call 740-383-9944. And today is called It's Politics, Baby. I don't know if you want to be a part of that or not. We seem not to be able to talk about politics in a rational way. But let me move on, and then I'll get to my guest for today. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion. No appointment or pre-registration or paperwork required. Simply show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. And if I'm not mistaken, you may take advantage of that this Saturday. We also have Home Inspection Company, your one call. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one call Home Inspection Company, with 25 years of experience working for you. They are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. It takes a lot of work from the face to let out a smile. Just think about good smiling. Just think about what good smiling can bring to the most important muscle of the body. Do any of you know what that muscle is?
Your mind.
Your heart.
Oh, your heart.
Yes. Okay. If there's a smile on your face, your heart feels better, okay. Right? And beats regularly, and blood flows like it's supposed to.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, that's just my my summation of that. Other voice and chuckle of laughter you hear in the background is Steve Chafin. He is my guest today, and like I said, it's politics, baby. We try to get some people to come in on the opposite side, but we haven't had any luck with that this time.
This time, yeah.
This time.
We'll keep working on it.
We'll keep working on it. And
we would like there's people out there. Just let me know. Let Linda know. We'll get you on, right?
Right, absolutely. We'd like to hear the other side, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Opposition, we would like to. And it's only fair that people can hear both sides.
It's the best way to do things because that way people can educate themselves. And
right.
The more information you get, I always talk about the adversarial process that I operate every day in the courts on. Mm-hmm. We have one side, the other side, we have an impartial judge, and then hopefully the truth comes out. Not
true.
Always, but we try.
Yes, we do try.
And that should happen in politics, too, when it's not happening.
I agree with you on that. It's sort of like, well, we're all going down a one-lane road.
Right.
It's kind of creepy.
It's dangerous is what it is.
Yes.
Because if we don't listen to other people and share our viewpoints in a civil manner, it will ultimately lead to violence. And that's not good. And we don't want that. And we've seen it happen in other countries where, you know, it just dissolves into violence because people won't listen. And they get so caught up with their own opinions and so fervently believe. I'll just take an example in the Kavanaugh thing. The day after, I posted something on my Facebook page. I said, listen, to my friends, let's not get angry. Mm-hmm. Let's take our anger and turn into positive action. Go vote. Go organize people to vote. And I got, you wouldn't believe the kind of comments I got. I was some kind of a sellout. you know, we're supposed to take to the streets. And this, I said, no, that's not the way to go, guys. We've done that before. It doesn't
physical,
pan.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
What is that going to solve, though, really?
There's just some people are so angry that they don't want to talk anymore. And I think that's on both sides. And they just want to go do something, you know, winning. They want to win at any cost. And that shouldn't be that way. We should have civility. You know, I bring the courtroom an example all the time. We have rules. You know, you don't be uncivil with your opponent. You stay within bounds of reason, and then you fight and advocate for your cause. But after the election's over with, you step back and go at it the next time. But I'm concerned that we're not doing that, because it just seems like, I know the last year when we campaigned, we got a lot of doors closed on us. People wouldn't even talk. They didn't even want to know who the candidates were. That's how bad it's getting. And if you recall, if you go back and read some of the Founding Fathers' documents, they wrote these, the Federalist Papers, they were called. Mm-hmm. And what it was is with Jefferson, Hamilton, Madison, all these guys writing basically essays on democracy and how we were going to make this thing work.
Right.
One of the things they stress is civility and people being involved and educating themselves. And I'm afraid people are so turned off right now. They're not getting educated about the issue. I'll give you an example of this. Issue 1 that's on the ballot this fall.
Right.
I don't really think people know anything about it.
Are you supposed to vote yes?
Well, a lot of people say no. So I personally am going to support it. And if you want to get into that, we can.
So what is Issue 1?
Well, Issue 1 is a proposition, and it's a constitutional amendment, which I don't think is a good way to go about it, but it is. And what it does, it takes fifth-degree felonies, which right now there's so many of them involving drugs. And there's a certain kind of classification of drugs. These scheduled drugs that are considered felonies, if you possess them or use them, you'll be charged with a felony. Right now, because there's so much of this going on, we have so many of these cases, the judges don't want to hear them. They've come to the lawyers and they've said, let's try to find another way to handle these. The best way to handle them is to make them a misdemeanor, first-degree misdemeanor. I prosecute a lot of first-degree misdemeanors in the Marion Municipal Court, a lot of drug cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to work with people. If they don't have an extensive criminal background, we try not to give them any jail. The problem is, Linda, if they're addicted, you know where our recovery, where our treatment, where the initial recovery is going on at? The jail. We don't have any detox facility, a secure detox facility for people to go to. So they're going to the jail. They're detoxing there. They may or may not get some kind of treatment out of jail. Most likely they're going to be released because of overcrowding, and they're going to be back on the streets again. So issue one does, it removes all those fifth-degree felonies related to these scheduled drugs. It says they will now be first-degree misdemeanors. And here's the other thing the judges don't like. We're going to restrict what the judges can do. They cannot send people, first offenders, to jail at all. They cannot send people who offend twice within a two-year or three-year period. Has to be a third offender within so many years before they can actually send them to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like that because they want to have that leverage on people. A lot of times what we'll do now is we'll sentence people to 6 months in jail, 180-day, suspend all or most of it on condition they get treatment. We try to get them into treatment. We try to get them detoxed, and some of it works, some of it doesn't. They say an offender or an addict has to detox and go back 5 times mm-hmm. before they get better. So,
right.
But really, but here's the key thing about Issue 1. All that money that's being spent to imprison people on the felony charges and even the first-degree misdemeanors, that cost savings would go into treatment. That's why I like it. Now, the other side says, well, first of all, some of these drugs are just too dangerous to be considered first-degree misdemeanors, like fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Fentanyl is a very deadly drug.
Right.
Even a little bit of it can kill you. And I agree. But that's not gotten to do with Issue 1. It's the federal government who's classified fentanyl at a certain level. It ought to be classified at a higher level. It ought to
right.
be a felony 4, maybe even a felony 3, because it's so deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So that would take it out of Issue 1. The other thing is people in treatment, the treatment people tell me, well, the treatment's going on now, it's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
There's no accountability. They just want your money, and then they let you go. And that may be true. I don't monitor it that much. But we should, maybe as a condition, because the state legislature will have to pass what they call enabling legislation, we should maybe put an accountability aspect into that money.
Right.
Just like every other program, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare or anything, there should be accountability. And I don't know who would monitor that, maybe Adam Board. In fact, I think the money is going to come through the Adam Board. So maybe the Adam Board could set up some kind of accountability system, audits, what do they call, audits that determine whether you're effective, effectiveness audits. They could do that.
So you're, in your opinion, we should vote no for...
No, I'm voting yes.
You're voting yes.
But, I, you
okay.
know, other people are going to disagree. I think most people in law enforcement and the court systems are going to say no to it because they don't like the certain drug classifications like fentanyl mm-hmm. being treated as a misdemeanor, and they don't like the idea that judges aren't going to have discretion to put people in jail. But, you know, it's just – the way I look at it, it's just a reality. You can argue all you want about whether there's a better way to fix this problem, and I agree there is. But where are the people? Where are the people at proposing other options? Where are the people at the state legislature? We just now got a federal drug bunch of money coming down the pike. Great. Mm-hmm. That's really great. That should have been done 4 years ago.
Right.
And that money is going to take quite a while to get down to the system. This money would come a lot quicker. So I know there's both sides of the coin. I personally have decided I'm voting for it.
Okay.
But go. There's pro and con on the web. You can go and search the pro and con of it. But, see, people don't know anything about it. That's the problem. Getting back to the Founding Fathers argument, if people don't participate, if they don't get educated. I was driving through a fast food drive-in the other day, and I was asking someone if they were going to vote. And she said, I said, are you old enough to vote? She said, yes. I said, well, are you going to vote? Well, I'm not qualified to vote. What makes a citizen not qualified to vote? Everybody is presumptively qualified. But I can maybe understand there if they're not educated, if we're not teaching our kids civics in high school, if parents aren't talking to their kids about the responsibility of citizenship,
right.
Then I can see why maybe an 18, 19-year-old will say, I'm not qualified. They don't know anything. They don't watch the news.
Up to the age 30. I'm serious because they're not concerned really about what's going on, and they have the attitude, well, my vote doesn't count. People are going to do what they want to do anyway, and that's the general consensus I get from people. It's like, why am I voting? I'll vote for the president. And then, like the last presidential election, how many people did not show up?
Quite a few. They're going to pay the price one way or the other, or their kids are going to pay the price, or their grandkids are going to pay the price if they don't participate. In our democracy, nobody said we were going to have a democracy forever.
No.
Nobody guaranteed that.
No.
We could devolve into some kind of... Some people now say we don't have a democracy. It's a plutocracy or an autocracy.
It's on its way to something else, sure, anyway, for sure, right. Mm-hmm. It feels like it. The climate feels icky to me.
It can be dangerous.
It may just be me, you know.
Well, no, I think you got some merit to it, Linda. There's just lack of respect, lack of tolerance, lack of civility, and just unwillingness to really get in there and figure things out and try to talk about sensible solutions and find common ground.
There's but you have to realize, Steve, only the Republicans know what to do and how to do it, when to do it, how much money to spend. They're the only ones who know.
Well, I try to reach out to some of my Republican friends and see if they can find some middle ground. Unfortunately, like sample today, I couldn't find anybody to come on. So if we don't talk and we don't share, it's not going to get better. We have to try, and I'm not giving up. So,
well, we can't give up.
No.
But that's just how the ball rolls, they say, right?
Yeah,
when they're in power, I mean, it's like this brick wall,
sure.
Okay?
You
and
know,
it bounces, you know.
It was a great example of a lack of constructive dialogue over the last 2 weeks with the Supreme Court thing. In the past, you needed 67 votes to confirm a Supreme Court justice.
So how did he get through?
Okay.
What's his name? Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh. It's a long story, but it used to be you needed two-thirds of the Senate to approve a Supreme Court mm-hmm. justice because they're on for life.
Right.
And everybody thought, well, there ought to be a clear majority. There ought to be a consensus of the United States Senate. The most. And now it got away from that. Mm-hmm. Then it used to be 60 votes because they used to have a 60 vote on the vote for closure. Well, then the Republicans, Mitch McConnell, said, we're not going to have that rule anymore. It's going to be a simple majority because they couldn't get 60 votes to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're down to bare-knuckle politics. It's whoever wins by that one vote. And not good. Not good for the country. But that's where we're at.
And I went to get my tire fixed today, right? Because I had a nail in it. And the tire had already been plugged before. It's against the law for us to replug this tire. And he showed me where the tread was coming through or whatever. And it was just shot.
Uh-huh.
And he got to talking about politics. You know, Kavanaugh, yeah. How he made it. He said he did get the vote to be on the Supreme Court. What kind of... opinion or yay or nay vote does he have to offer with his reputation?
He's fairly conservative from everything I know about the man. His political career was worked his way up to the George Bush, George W. Bush. He was a member of his staff, worked with Karl Rove. And then he got onto a court of appeals. So he's been politically involved for many years, but mm-hmm. his conservative record is clear. There was one case in particular that bothered me, a ruling he made. There was a young woman, and I think she was 17 because she was underage. It was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd become pregnant. And I can't remember exactly how it was, but it was one of those exceptions, rape or incest.
Okay.
Didn't want to have the child. There was a procedure in Texas where you could petition the court to have the abortion. She followed that procedure, got a court order, and was ready to go and have the procedure. The other side, there's lots of people that are opposed to that kind of thing.
Right.
Got a court order enjoining her from doing this. Then it went to appeals and got to his court. He ruled that there should be a continuance because this woman could find other alternatives to the procedure.
That's true.
The problem was, though, is in Texas, if you waited 10 weeks, mm-hmm. then it became illegal. And she was like right up to that 10 weeks. She was like 9 weeks.
Okay.
So rather than make a decision, he could have made a decision and said, no, that would have been fine. She'd have known that was it. But he wouldn't decide. He just wanted a continuance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they appealed his decision, and the woman was able to have the procedure. Now, you can say, well, that's bad. She shouldn't have got the abortion. But the problem was, you got to make, if you're in a position of power, you got to make a decision.
True.
And by not deciding, he de facto made a decision that she couldn't have this procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And it is legal. Whether you agree or not, it still is legal. And that's the big issue that a lot of women are concerned about, is he may decide to overturn Roe versus Wade, which has been on the books now for almost 50 years.
Oh, that's the strategy. That's what they're after.
Well, a lot of people think he will.
Yes.
Now, I heard today maybe he won't. Maybe the court will be – maybe the Chief Justice will be careful. Because remember, they have to accept cases. You don't have any automatic right to appeal to the Supreme Court or the Ohio Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You have to file a petition and tell the court why you think this is an important issue.
Okay.
And they have to grant that.
Yeah.
So the Chief Justice could probably basically, if it was a liberal problem, side with the liberals. If it was a conservative problem, he could decide with the conservatives to hear cases.
Yeah.
So if there's no cases brought before the courts, the district courts and the appellate courts will make those decisions, and it'll be different in different parts of the country.
Okay. That's why he's in there.
Well, that's one of the things.
By whatever means necessary.
Yeah,
because
both sides are concerned about that.
Right. Evangelical mm-hmm. Christians want Roe versus Wade overturned.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's another reason why Trump is in office.
I think most people would agree that would be a bad thing because we've made so much progress that we don't have the kind of incivility on that issue we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those days when doctors were being shot. Clinics were being bombed.
Yes.
We don't have that going on now, which is good. And again, Linda, like I said, when you get to the point that you don't talk, people will go extreme. And this is where we're at on some things right now. So we have to have faith and we have to keep trying. So get out to vote on Wednesday.
Right.
First day of voting.
True.
Don't
exercise your rights.
Right.
Don't register and don't vote.
No.
If you're going to register, please vote.
Right.
We need your voice to be heard, because like you said, we so one-sided. It makes me think of Popeye. Remember the cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Popeye.
Sure.
And Alice the Goon. Remember Alice the Goon? She wore those big boots.
Okay.
To her knee.
Okay.
And she just said, I love Popeye, I love Popeye. And it was like they were going through this factory and they were producing Alice the Goons. That to me, that's like a one-track mind. And it's like, are we going to be puppets now that we have to follow after the majority rule, the majority law, the majority voice? And to me, that's scary.
It can be dangerous, yeah.
That is so scary, Steve.
I understand.
No balance of power.
Well, and that's another point that someone was making today was, okay, now that you got the president, conservative, Republican, the Congress, both the House and Senate control Republican, then now you're going to have the Supreme Court. When the Founding Fathers set this up, they wanted to have three branches that would be checking each other. The Congress would check the president.
Right.
The president would check this, the military or whatever, and then the Supreme Court would check them both.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have no checks and balances. Now we have one-party rule from every branch of government. And it's probably not good for our democracy. That's my point. Now, the Republicans say, oh, great, yeah, that's the way it should be. Okay, well, I don't agree.
But how can you call that a democracy if your voices are silent? I mean, really, and I hear a lot of people say, well, the Democrats was against this and they were against that. They have no voice. So it doesn't matter whether they were for or against it. They have no voice.
Well, this Democrat's going to keep exercising his voice.
Yes. Keep talking. I mean, we can continue to talk.
We will.
Yes.
I hope so. If the government comes in and shuts us down because they don't agree with our opinions, then maybe that we're going too far. But, I mean, they haven't tried to censor you in any way, have they?
No. Okay. And what's too far?
I don't know. Well, then, you remember, when was it, the Janet Jackson thing at the Super Bowl where they had the wardrobe malfunction?
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. There was a whole big crackdown on stuff that was going on TV. And if you watch it, even on, like, HBO and stuff, they're much more restrictive than they ever used to be on nudity and sexual things because they were worried about – there was a whole backlash from that. People – the FCC has the power to come in and shut you down. You know that, right? So if the FCC was a conservative radio, a conservative-leaning group, and they decided liberal opinions weren't going to be allowed anymore, they'd pull your plug.
Wow.
It could happen. It happens in other countries. You know, I hope
right.
it would never happen here, but it's possible.
Right. So what was the Amber Alert from the White House about? Did you get one on your cell phone?
Yeah, I got one. I didn't pay attention to it, apparently.
What was that about?
Well, some would argue that it's a scare tactic, that Trump's going to have control of the entire military-industrial complex, and if he wants to push the button, he just demonstrated how he can do it. You know, he could declare emergency. I mean, I'm sure you've seen movies, 7 Days of May. Did you ever hear of that one?
Yeah.
Where the generals were going to take over the military and declare martial law. I mean, that could happen again. You know, he could say the Chinese are getting ready to drop nuclear bombs on us and we're going to declare martial law and no more radio because it might be leaking information to the enemy or something. I don't know. During the World War II, I wasn't obviously born, but my mother used to tell me about the things that you had to be very careful about what you said. Loose lip sync ships and all that. And there was a high degree of security around here in Marion. We had a prisoner of war camp right here in Marion.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, you know that, yeah.
No, where was it located?
Where the prison is now, that was a prisoner of war camp.
I did not know
we
that.
We have dead Germans buried in a cemetery up there off of Lycans Chapel Road.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm digressing.
Learn something new every day. Well,
that's okay.
A lot of people may not have known that.
A lot of history here in Marion.
I guess there is. I had no idea. No idea.
I'm not even from here, but I've learned a lot about Marion since I've been
here. So where are you from?
Springfield.
Okay. That's not too far away.
Not too far. No. About an hour.
Yeah. About an hour. And so here we go. We're getting ready. Is there any other issue that you have concerns about that people should know about that's going to be on the ballot in November?
I do want people to vote. You've probably heard about the Russians hacking the election, and now recently the Chinese are hacking the election. I want to assure people that our elections are not being hacked.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing. I am on the Board of Elections. I make sure we went through a whole bunch of cybersecurity issues here in the last month to make sure all our computer equipment was not being infiltrated.
Right.
There's rumors circulating in the community that there's going to be problems this year. I'll assure them, the public, that to my knowledge, there won't be any problems. Your vote will be safe. It'll be secure. It'll be fair. But I'm urging people to vote early. We don't want to have any issues for whatever reason on the final day of voting, which is called Election Day. Actually, Election Day starts Wednesday and goes through November 6th. So if you haven't already asked for a mail ballot, which mm-hmm. we've got 3,600 people have already requested that.
Okay.
That's about 20, probably going to be about 25% of the vote. Could mm-hmm. be higher. We'll have people walking in every day. I was just going to give you the hours here. I guess starting Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and pretty much every day between now and November 6th, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. There will be some other early voting hours. Saturday, October 27th, 8 to 4. Saturday, November 3rd, 8 to 4. Sunday, there'll be a Sunday vote on November 4th, 1 to 5. And then that final day before the election day, is Monday, November 5th. You can vote 8 to 2 that day. We need a few hours to process the early voting. Then, of course, all day on November 6th. And if you don't know where your voting location is, you can go to the marionelections.com and look that up. I'd also urge people to do that today or tomorrow, because registration closes tomorrow. So even if you all just want to check to make sure that you're registered to vote at the location where you live, you can still change your address up till tomorrow. If you don't do it tomorrow, then if you go to the polls and you've moved, they'll make
you
vote.
You won't be able to vote.
Well, you can vote.
It'll
vote provisional until we can verify that you do, in fact, live at that address. So everybody gets to vote. Some people will vote what they call provisional, meaning your vote will have to be your residency and your eligibility to vote will have to be established. You'll have to be a registered voter and vote where you live at. So.
Right.
We actually, people have the misconception that these provisional votes don't count. Most of them do. We do have to, by law, not allow people who aren't registered. So if you vote provisional and you're not registered, that vote won't count.
And if
we can't verify that you are voting at the location and have your residency established, if you don't live in Marion County, if you don't live in the place where you say you do, we can't verify that, then your vote can't count. But most of these provisionals do count.
So let's go over that again. You say Wednesday, Monday... Wednesday.
Let me get that up on my phone again because I can't remember all the dates. Okay, so it starts Wednesday, 8
That's
to 5.
Early voting.
That's early voting. You can walk into the Board of Elections, which is 222 West Center Street, Marion. And then we got some weekends, Saturday, October 27th, 8 to 4. Saturday, November 3rd, 8 to 4. Sunday, November 4th, 1 to 5. And Monday, November 5th, 8 to 2. And there will be some late night hours, too. Did not mention that. Monday the 29th to Friday November 2nd will be open till 7 o'clock, the Board of Elections. So you got evening hours, you got weekend hours, including Sunday.
Okay.
Souls to the polls, probably heard that one before, huh?
That'll be a
big day, and hopefully we'll get a good turnout. I'd like to see half of the voters vote early in Marion County, and I think it's possible.
I usually do. A lot of people say no, I want to go through the line, but I'm kind of like you, seem like voting day, something always happens.
It could. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to have long lines, but it's just
that. No, I don't mean so much the lines. It's like underhandedness and, things like that.
The weather
happen.
Can be a problem.
Weather.
The most common reason people say they don't vote is they forget. I forgot to vote. And that happens. You're busy and, 6:30, you got to get to the polls. I can't get there on time. The other thing they say, it doesn't matter. But we know it does. We've seen so many times where one vote makes a difference. So,
right.
You should participate.
That's true.
Yep.
Definitely participate. We need your vote.
Yep.
We need your voice. Education is the best thing for people to be educated about issues.
Absolutely. Now on the candidates, we have a lot of local candidates. Of course, we have our federal elections. We have the U.S. Senate. Sherrod Brown and Mr. Renacci are running for the U.S. Senate.
Okay.
That's a 6-year term. We have our congressional. We have two congressional districts in Marion County. The 4th district, Mr. Jordan and Ms. Garrett are running for those two.
Okay.
And we have the 12th district. Mr. Balderson and Mr. Danny O'Connor are running for that one. That's the same one that had that special election in August.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the federal level. We've got the state level, everywhere from governor, Supreme Court, almost all the state offices, Secretary of State, Auditor, Treasurer. And then we have our state reps. We have two state rep districts in Marion County, the 86th and 87th. We have candidates in both of those, Democrat and Republican.
Okay.
And then we have all our local races, our county prosecutor. We have candidates there on both sides. Both of our judges, Judge Finnegan's seat is vacant now, will be at the end of the year. So two candidates for that. And then Judge Slagle is running again. There's an opponent. He has an opponent on that race. So
Governor. Governor. Is that up this year, too?
That is up. We had Mr. Cordray here on Friday for a fundraiser here in Marion. It was very well received. I don't know if Mr. DeWine has been here in Marion County. I suspect he has been, but I haven't heard of him. But, that race is very close from what
Yes.
Everything I've read about it, it could be Marion County could be pivotal in that race. So get out there and vote.
Yes.
Read up on these candidates and find out what they're – in fact, I think there's a debate tonight between Cordray and DeWine.
Okay.
I don't
know
what channel it's on or how you can get it, but you probably look it up on Google.
Right. I did see advertisement commercial about that, and the lady was saying that DeWine did not want – he wanted to allow insurance companies not to be obligated to treat a person with pre-existing conditions.
That's been the whole debate, and we've talked about the health care issue a lot here. The idea of – pre-existing conditions are basically if you apply to an insurance company to be insured, and they think you're too high of a risk because of the conditions that you have, whether it be diabetes, heart issues, right, or anything. So they don't want to treat you because you're probably going to get more benefits out than you're putting in if you're in those kind of positions. So that used to be the rule. Well, under when we passed the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, mm-hmm, that was done away with. So if you bought a policy through the Affordable Care Act and through the health, right, insurance agency, you couldn't buy a policy that didn't cover you regardless of your pre-existing conditions. A lot of people on the other side of the aisle want to go back to that day because they think that people will buy these policies, these high-risk policies. They can't afford them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the insurance companies can't afford to sell you a cancer policy or a diabetes policy just to cover that condition. It'd be too expensive.
Right.
So it's just not realistic to expect people like that to go and buy a policy. It's not going to be affordable, and they're not going to get it, and they're going to end up in the emergency room, and we're going to pay one way or the other. That was what the whole premise of the Affordable Care Act was. We had,
right,
so many uninsured people. The high-risk people were not being insured. They were being treated at wherever. Some of them weren't even getting treated. So we had to get everybody into the pool, the high-risk people and the low-risk people. Mm-hmm. And that was the key thing that the insurance companies wanted, was to get the low-risk people, the teenagers,
right,
the people 25 to 40 or 50 who were low-risk, had good incomes, could pay in, but they weren't buying it because they didn't think they were invincible. They didn't need insurance.
Hmm.
So that's what they were going to be forced to buy in or get a tax penalty for not buying in, which the Supreme Court said was okay. Well, Mr. Trump doesn't like it. He's been whittling away at these protections the most he could. And some say that, I think he's bragged that the Affordable Care Act is basically worthless at this point.
Well,
I haven't heard that.
So. Well,
but I know that people's premiums are still going up, and
right,
they're concerned about that. So the fix has not been made on that part yet. I think, and I've talked to people that I know, that we need to expand Medicare. Medicare, yeah, is a great program. In fact, I'm just turned 64. One more year, I'll be on Medicare.
Okay.
I can't wait because it's with you for the rest of your life. You can,
true,
go anywhere in the country and get treated at a doctor's office with Medicare. Doctors like it because they know the procedure. They know the filling forms. They know what they're going to get.
Right.
Maybe they're not going to get as much as they want, but they're going to get something, a guaranteed payment. And it establishes a large pool. Right now, since people have to be 65 to get into the pool, there's, mm-hmm, a lot of high-risk treatment going on. If we expand that pool, let's say down to 60 or 55, we'd have less risky people with good premiums. They could pay the good premiums. And it would be a good great program. It'd be national health care insurance, which is what we need.
Right, right. I hear what you're saying, and I understand the opposition.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies, I think they didn't want to pay out all that money.
Well, they have
people.
A lot of power.
Yeah, they do
they
have a lot of power.
They give a lot of money to the politicians.
Yes, they do.
Who are beholden to them. So.
And they're working for them, you know.
Right.
So let's erase all that was done
previously.
That's
what our country's becoming. Who's got the money? Who's got the power? And it shouldn't just be about money and power. It ought to be about
people.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Why should it be about people?
I don't know. I just some dumb reason in my head that we ought to be about doing what's good for people.
Remember, I was talking about Alice de Goon and how,
yeah,
they were producing more Alice de Goons,
right,
and they were like automated,
right,
robots.
Yep.
Okay, keep that in mind.
Well, the young people listening, if there is any listening, which there probably isn't, but, you know, think about the future. How do you want the future to be? Do you want machines doing our thinking or other people who don't even know? You don't realize the kind of mind control that goes on in our society when they just pitch stuff to you all the time.
All the time.
You don't get options, you know.
All the time.
This is the only information you're going to get. You listen,
right,
to this. Or no information, you know.
Right,
and,
right. And you believe that information,
yeah,
whether it's true or false.
Right, you don't take the time to go and check it out.
And
you're in a conversation with friends and you hear someone who sounds a little weird because they're disagreeing with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just turn them off. Well, they're,
right,
weird. We don't want to talk to them.
Right.
They,
right,
may be the smartest people in the bunch. I was one of those kids that always wanted to be contrary to the majority opinions, just because,
true,
I thought we ought to have a dialogue.
True.
And I was always kind of ostracized and said, well, that guy's weird. We're not going to talk to him, but I didn't care. I was going to do it anyway.
Well, you know, that is what is on trial, the,
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the truth? No, that's not the truth. You can't believe what you hear. You can't believe what you see on TV, the commercials, and what other politicians are saying. You have to believe and watch Fox News. They are telling you the truth. You know that, Steve.
I try to avoid that. But I guess I'm falling into the trap of watching just my side, but, you know, that's something we shouldn't do. I try to engage in dialogue. I face-to-face with people rather than listen to TV or whatever. I do a lot of it on Facebook, actually. I've got Republican and conservative friends on Facebook that come back at me. So that's great. You know,
right.
I want to make sure we get that, right. Keep that dialogue going.
And I'm trying to be the opposition for you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Because that's what they think.
But your heart's not into it, Linda.
Oh, no. I don't even watch Fox News. I used to, but then when President Obama first started, they got so dogmatic about him, and I couldn't stomach it, so I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
And then I was hearing everybody say, Fox News, Fox News. They are the ones that are telling you the truth. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? Now we're in a one-sided society, and everybody's going to jump on board? I don't want to be an Alice the Goon.
Yeah. Well, for me, it started back in the 90s when Rush Limbaugh started on radio.
Oh, and he's terrible.
You know, captured the radio waves across the country. And
but he was on speed, wasn't he, that drug?
Yeah, he was my understanding was taking oxycodone, which is a...
Something.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know for sure. But anyway...
it's crazy.
That's when it started for me. And we couldn't... We finally got some liberal radio talk show called Air America. Do you remember that? And a bunch of people were on there. In fact, Rachel Maddow, who has a big TV show now, started on Air America back in the 90s.
Oh, she did. TV then or news.
So the media is important. You want to get as much information you can from both sides.
Right.
Whether it's whatever thing you use, you know, TV, radio. Newspapers are dying off, so we don't have those. You know, at one time, Marion had more than one newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the country, there were many newspapers get different opinions from, and now they're...
Don't need it
any.
Now. Yep. Social media. Yep.
Right.
Don't need it.
But can you really believe everything you see on social media either?
So. No. I mean, there is an opposition to everything. It should be. It
should be. Within reason. I mean,
yes,
you want to have facts. And
both
you see
of them should be reasonable,
I
think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And factual, fact-based, not just opinions, you know.
And not just, you know, beating the table, it has to be my way or no way,
right,
you know,
right.
or hit the highway. You know, we don't want to hear you. We don't want to see you. We're just going to do what we want to do. We know what to do and we know how to do it.
Even in every individual decision you make, sometimes you question whether it's the right thing. And you
I do all the time.
Do you? I do. I try not to be too indecisive. I mean, I make mistakes, but you got to move forward. You got to make decisions. You shouldn't do them rashly, but.
My mentor and spiritual mother told me just not too long ago when she was here, Earlene Hatch, there are no mistakes.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Well, I'd hope to think that, but I don't know. I think I've made some mistakes in my life.
I thought so too, she said. But, you know, all things work together for your good, whether you think they were a good thing for you or not.
I can see that point, because you do learn from your mistakes.
Yes, you do.
Most of the time. Not always, but I try to. And you're right. Not mistakes. Maybe they're just points in your life where you went a certain way that maybe later you say, I shouldn't have done that, you know.
Yes.
But then you change, right? Then you take a different path, and maybe it's the better way. Worked out for me okay, I guess.
Yeah, and me too. I'm like, really? And I'm thinking, I just made a bad mistake. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said this or went there.
Mm-hmm.
She says, honey, there are no mistakes.
But something in your head tells you that you need to think about that, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's the good part, is that you do that, and then you realize maybe there's a better way. Maybe I won't do that next time, you know?
That's true. And it's like I heard I forget who I was listening to, but they were saying that Samson and Delilah, remember that Bible story?
Yeah.
Well, Samson liked it to Philistine women, even though he weren't supposed to marry him according to what God commanded him to do through his parents.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted him to have a wife of his own nation. But then they said that he was attracted to this other woman, which brought in another race of people into the Israelites. And it was saying that it was God's will that he married this woman,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't going to work anyway. But to bring him to where God wanted him to be, and how he needed Samson to be so upset about the marriage network, and that he needed him to go fight this battle with all the strength that he had and might. So, he knew it wasn't going to work, but he put him in that position. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. Okay. We think we're doing what?
Maybe as a country we're going through that. Maybe, and somebody said that the other day, maybe we need this to see that, hold it, we are here at a bad spot, America. We need to get out of this spot. How do we do it, you know? How do we get out of this? Because we're at the bottom almost of our, I guess, our democracy, and almost to the point, you know, right?
Right.
Some people
right.
are questioning it, whether or not it's still a democracy or not. Or maybe this is the test for us.
It is.
Possibly,
it is a
huh?
test. It is a test. Because we think that we're doing something with our own hands, and but there's still a sovereign Lord up there who controls. He says, the king's heart is in my hand, and I turn it however I want to turn it. Now, that's kings and princes, people in authority, presidents and czars and prime ministers and stuff. So if the king's heart is in his hand, then whose will is he doing?
I don't know. You know what I mean?
That hit me today. I'm thinking, wow, you know, we think that we're doing it. But he gave us free choice, free
yep.
will,
yep.
a voice.
So. Right.
We say what we think. What's that? Debate.
Uh-huh.
We can debate one another.
Sure.
I mean, God
yeah,
has given us
healthy.
All
yeah.
information and knowledge and wisdom.
So we degree. Couldn't have got people to call in today to get some lively
I know,
banter.
I know.
That's
I know.
Disappointing, isn't it?
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm used to it.
Are you?
I'm still on the air. I'm used to it. At least they listen, you know.
Yeah,
they listen.
Yeah, good. Well,
so,
help.
Yeah, and they may get bits and pieces, but the most important thing is that we want to share with them today is get out and vote.
Yep, absolutely.
Last
yep.
day to register
Encourage
is tomorrow,
your,
right? Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. I think we are stay open till late, till 7, I think, or something, but... And then call your friends and neighbors, you know, on Facebook, share and remind people, register, get your registration updated, and then early voting starts Wednesday, and I urge everybody to get into the Board of Elections early or do it by mail, and your vote will count.
Yes.
I guarantee it. And don't worry about no cyber hacking or any of that. That's just not real, guys. Sorry. I mean,
right.
there might have been some evidence. There was some stuff going on as far as buying ads and trying
right.
to influence people, and that goes on anyway, but there's nothing going on to jeopardize the integrity of the election process.
Thank you, Steve, for spending this hour with me. You have been listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater
again. I'm sorry. It's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair. And now it's time for the Marion Midget Football Scoreboard Week Number 4. The Peewee Giants defeated the Peewee Jets 18-6. The 49ers defeated the Lions 56-0. And the Jets defeated the Vikings 56-0.
This is Margaret Hazlett, and you can catch my friends Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and Marianne Michaels every Friday from 12 to 10 to 1 for the Exchange Club. They discuss topics of the day and take your calls at 740-383-9944.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, are you looking for a church that is Bible teaching and Bible believing? I invite you to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We were at 209 East Water Street. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning. Evening service at 6:30, along with youth group at the same time. We do have a midweek service. You can reach us at 740-494-2222 or prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you come and visit. And get plugged in and see that there's true hope for tomorrow and hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games.
This is Judge Jim Slagle, joining with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM to encourage you to vote now at the Board of Elections office or on Tuesday, November 6 at your polling place. Paid for by Slagle for Judge.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and watch out for the chopper. Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2 and 3 bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 937-642-3692.
This is George Burns. And I hope you listen to Now with Scott Spears, weekdays, 12:10 p.m. to 2 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh107.1.com. Entertaining national and local guests and you as well by calling in at 740-383-9944. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content. And remember, these are the good old, bad old days.
This is Seth Sullinger, and you are listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and click live for exclusive content.
Lose your head at Ohio's newest and most exciting Halloween attraction. The Sleepy Hollow Experience invades Haunted Mountain this fall in an immersive theatrical nightmare that has taken the country by storm. Audiences will be immersed into a world-class production, have their minds boggled in an escape room, and be terrified on a haunted trail, all under the control of the Headless Horseman. Open every Thursday through Saturday in October at 7 p.m. and a performance-only matinee Sundays at 3. Produced by the Scioto Society in association with Brian Cloudus Productions.
In the spirit of Halloween and fall,
It's now time for a Halloween poem reading right here on WWGH Radio by Charlie Evers, Marianne Michaels, Martha Dowse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Marla Gibbs, Mr. McFeely, Pat Carroll, Bud Collins, Hugh Downs, and Robert Guillaume.
Speedy Delivery, my name is Mr. McFeely, and I'm at W.